Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps. And thanks.
Sunflowers soak up the sun's rays and grow gloriously tall. Now researchers in Japan are planting sunflowers to soak up radiation from the Fukushima nuclear disaster. The idea was tried back in the mid-1990s near the Chernobyl power plant meltdown. Soil scientist Michael Blaylock worked on that project. Now he's vice president of systems development at Eden Space Systems Corporation. Michael Blaylock, welcome to Living on Earth.
Thank you.
So, sunflower plants and nuclear power plants, what's the connection?
Well, the connection there is really that sunflowers are good at taking up certain radioactive isotopes. And that's really the connection between the sunflowers and the nuclear power plants that we've discovered, is that some of the fallout from the Chernobyl accident we were able to address through planting sunflowers in the affected areas.
So basically the plant just kind of grows, and as it's growing, it's sucking the radiation out of the soil.
That's correct. Those radioisotopes mimic some of the plant nutrients that the plant takes up normally. And so the plant really doesn't distinguish between those radioactive isotopes and some of the nutrients like potassium and calcium that it takes up as a matter of course.
Well, you worked at Chernobyl back in the mid-1990s. Did it work?
It was very effective for the water. The soil is a little bit different story because cesium in soil is a little bit tricky. Strontium in soil, it works very well for us, but if you can't take both of them out, taking just the strontium doesn't necessarily get you to where you want to be if you leave the cesium around.
So why is cesium harder to get out than strontium?
You know, cesium mimics potassium. The clay layers on a very small scale, the atomic structure, they have what we call for lack of a better word, a cavity in between those clay layers. And the potassium fits very nicely into those cavities, and that's the way that soils retain potassium. Well, cesium, being very similar to potassium, fits in those same cavities, and it becomes fixed in the soil, and it's very difficult for it to come out. Whereas strontium is very similar to calcium. Calcium is in a form that's very available to plants. We don't have that problem.
Well, they're trying this at Fukushima. You think it could actually work there?
It could, given the right set of circumstances. You know, one thing we found in Chernobyl is we came there a number of years after the fact, and so that gave plenty of time for that cesium to become fixed in the soil, and it's going to be very dependent on the soil types. You know, soils that have very high mica contents, certain clays, are going to be very difficult to remove the cesium once that cesium gets fixed. But under the right set of circumstances, they could be effective in removing those contaminants from the soil.
So which part of the plant stores the radioactivity?
You don't want to have to dig up roots. That's a very difficult process. It can be done, but it's much easier to harvest leaves and stems. So we focus our efforts on those plants that do a good job of translocating from roots to shoots.
Is the sunflower the best plant for this?
Sunflower was attractive because it grows well, it produces a lot of biomass quickly, it doesn't take a lot of management to grow it as compared to some other crops, it's adaptable to a lot of different climates. So I don't know that it is the best plant, but it is certainly one that meets the criteria that we need.
So when you harvest the plant, it's radioactive.
Yeah, the biomass or the harvested material would be radioactive.
Yeah, so what do you do then? How do you get rid of the radioactivity in the plant?
Yeah, the real process here is what we're trying to do is concentrate that radioactivity from the soil, which is a fairly low concentration, to a much higher concentration in the plant material. You still have to dispose of that plant material, but you've moved that particular contaminant or radioactive isotope from silica, aluminosilicate matrix in the soil, which is very difficult to deal with, to a carbon-based substance in the plant material. You've concentrated that, so you have a lot less material to dispose of, and you can leave that soil, which is a resource that's hard to replace, you can leave that soil in place and just remove the contaminant.
And the radiation doesn't kill the plant as this is happening?
Typically not. If they're high enough to where they're going to affect the plant growth, it's not going to be an area that's suitable for this type of approach.
I could see unexpected consequences from something like this. I mean, here you've got these sunflower plants, and the seeds dry, and birds eat the seeds, and then they fly off, and they're radioactive.
Yeah, that could be a risk. I mean, typically, when we performed this, we would always harvest plants before they seeded out, because the main idea is to harvest biomass. You want to produce as much vegetative material as possible. And once the plant starts producing seeds, it flowers and the seeds start forming, it's not producing a lot more vegetative matter to remove that contaminant. So typically, once the plant flowered, we harvested and we would replant again. We're not interested in producing seeds.
What about the hard-nosed question about money? How much does this cost relative to other technologies?
Relative to other remediation technologies, it's not that expensive. But when you factor in their sampling and disposal of the material, it's certainly not free. But, you know, on a cost basis as compared to the cost of storing soil for a very long period of time, very large quantities of soil, it's a very attractive option.
You know, there's something very special about sunflowers. I mean, they're beautiful. And there's something poetic, I think, going on here. Because they're also an anti-nuclear symbol, especially in Japan, where, you know, we're now almost ready to commemorate the anniversary of Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yeah, it is an interesting set of circumstances. And to see a field of plants out there growing in an area that previously was not vegetated, and you'd be able to, you know, to harness nature to do some of the things that we need to do to, you know, to correct our mistakes. It is something that's very pleasant to look at and to see. And it gives you, you know, it's one of those touchy-feely things you feel really good about.
Michael Blalock is vice president at Eden Space Systems Corporation. Mr. Blalock, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Just ahead, not going with the flow. Critics try to put the kibosh on a transcontinental pipeline carrying crude. Keep listening to Living on Earth.